Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. With me today, I have Josh Cutler. This is Christmas Eve. It's also the beginning of Hanukkah. And I really wanted to do this show for community. We have to start, in my opinion, taking care of each other, accepting each other, for what we are. We're human beings. We're not divine. We make a lot of mistakes. Believe me, I've made so many fill volumes. But today I want to talk about two religions, Christianity and Judaism. And the reason I have Josh Cutler, in my opinion, he's been raised in both. Now, Josh's uncle, Frank, he and I were classmates at St. Charles School. His mother's younger, but they were Catholics at St. Charles School, St. Charles Parish. Their name was McKeever. And his dad was Jewish and very active in the Jewish faith. So I can remember Josh seeing him at church, and then he'd have to run the temple. So he's an authority on both. But why am I doing this? Because as I said, I'm just burned out on meanness. What's happened to us? So let's accept each other for who and what we are. And not be so critical. There's too much hate in the world. And I hope this show, this season, Christmas Eve, and by the way, and why we're doing it, this hasn't happened since 2005, that Christmas and Hanukkah are at the same time. Hanukkah, I believe, starts tonight, and this is Christmas Eve.
So Hanukkah will actually, the first night of Hanukkah will be tomorrow, Christmas okay. Day. Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, 2005. I don't remember the coincidence of it happening. To be honest,
I did a little research on this. Believe me, this show means a lot to me. It's my way of trying to spread a little joy and peace and charity and forgiveness in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really exciting time for our family because we.
Yeah,
as you mentioned, we do a little bit of everything. And you know, being a father of a young child, I've always tried to expose my son to every tradition that I can, and having them simultaneously just makes it even much much sweeter for us too. I mean, tomorrow's going to be quite the day.
Tomorrow, now we'll start. Give us a little history lesson on Hanukkah.
Sure. Well, I mean, Hanukkah is the festival of lights. So our holiday will go for 8 days, and we will be lighting. It's often called a menorah, but it's right. Actually it's called a Hanukkah because a menorah can also be used interchangeably for a Shabbat candelabra,
right.
But for a Hanukkah, it has 9 candles. Oh. So you'll light it 8 evenings, and then you'll have the shamash, the main candle, which you light from for all of them. Oh, wow. And so during this holiday, it's a happy holiday for the Jewish faith. It's one that can be celebrated both in the synagogue and at home, whereas for the high holy days, right. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's pretty much synagogue based. Your butt's in the pew. For Passover, that happens in the spring, that tends to be more of a home based holiday. But Hanukkah, we do a little bit of both. We often have communal celebrations. Like for my synagogue, we'll be doing 2. On this coming Friday night, we'll be having a service where we'll will, as a community, light our Hanukkahs together. And then next week, next Friday night, and on January 3rd, we'll be doing our formal dinner, which is kind of challenging to do when families are on vacation during the holidays and New Year's and stuff. So though we're not going to be doing it during the holiday proper, we'll still get together as a temple family. And of course, with the Jewish Federation, which supports all congregations and all Jews in Berkshire County, we'll be having a communal celebration on Sunday, December 29th at Hancock Shaker Village.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So,
oh, nice.
So it's, and of course, families always celebrate Hanukkah at home. You'll often, as you drive by Jewish homes, you'll see the Hanukkah lit in the window.
Yep.
I don't have mine up yet. I'm still kind of getting my holidays set in place, but I do have a light up one. Some people will actually light the candles and put them in the window. I have one with light bulbs. So,
oh, there you go. Safer.
It is safer, and also it can be an heirloom as well. The one that I use was given to me, and my late wife Jessica, was given to us by Rabbi Harold and Audrey Salzman, both of blessed memory. And Rabbi, for those who have been in the community for some time, Rabbi Salzman came to Pittsfield in 1954 as the rabbi of my synagogue, Temple Anshe Emunim, and was our senior rabbi for 30 years, retired in 1984, and then was our rabbi emeritus for the remaining 34 years of his life. So it's rare,
yeah,
when you see a clergy person have such longevity in one single community. In fact, in his career, he only served two pulpits.
Wow.
Pittsfield and the 4 years before that in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Wow.
Because he was ordained in 1950 through the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati. So exceedingly rare these days when you have it. And naturally, in my family has been connected with Anshe Emunim since 1957. So early on in his tenure, my grandparents joined the temple, became very, very close friends with the Salzmans, my father as well. And that stretched to me.
Yeah.
As well, I regarded Rabbi Salzman like a second grandfather, and he, you know, taught me really everything I needed to know about the history of the temple, about being a good Reformed Jew, and even being a good husband and dad as well. I'm so grateful that I had Harold and Audrey in my life for over 30 years for both of them. Yeah. And we as well, for the Jewish community, everything they gave to us over the 60 plus years of time that they were in the Berkshires. I mean, it's truly unprecedented for this community.
Yeah. And he also on some occasions when he was still active years ago, he would do at either the Veterans Day situation, he would come out and do the prayer.
He often said to me that due to his longevity, he likely held the record in Berkshire County for most invocations and benedictions delivered at public events. And around 2010, he was part of the committee that was charged with restoring the war memorial on right. Veterans Way and Colt
exactly
Road.
Right. With Gregor Young and that Father Peter Gregory and. It was quite a list of who's who, but they got it done. They had enough money to then take what money was left and go do the flag soldier at Park Square.
Yes. And, you know, and Harold was a veteran of the Korean War. He was a chaplain and that experience. And he was always very visible as one of the leaders of the Jewish War Veterans Organization in Berkshire County, along with Bob Schindler.
Oh, Bob.
Who was as well. Gary Turetsky is now. But that was always extremely important to him. And so when we had Veterans Day, Memorial Day remembrances with the synagogue, that was always critically important to him. And he was in the public ones that we have as well. As long as his health allowed, Harold was a very visible participant in all of those, and he took a lot of pride in it.
He was a wonderful man. I like you said, I wasn't as friendly with him as you are, but I knew him. I respected him, and I know several people. And I have to say this before we move on to talk a little bit more about Hanukkah. Bob Schindler was on this program many times when I was at another radio station. And Bob Schindler was a machine gunner in World War II and saw some of the camps. Bob Schindler will always live in my heart. He was a beautiful person, a wonderful man, as is his wife. And these times, you know, these are festive times, but they're also times for memories.
And Bill, I'm not sure if you know this, but Bob's wife, Elaine, is my cousin.
Oh, I didn't know that. No. You'd, oh, wow.
No. So Elaine's maiden name was Skoletsky.
Okay.
And my great grandfather his name was Morris Cohen. Yeah. But when he emigrated to the United States, his actual last name was Skoletsky.
Oh.
So the reason why his name was Cohen is because that's what he could spell for his naturalization papers.
Yeah.
So so my grandmother and Elaine and Eddie Skoletsky, who is also fondly remembered,
yeah,
in this community, they were all first cousins. They're first cousins. So
they walked all the time.
Yep, absolutely. You would see them
that. You know,
8 o'clock in the morning on North Street. You'd see Elaine
you'd see
and
them.
Bob
and
Eddie and Loretta and
So, but Josh, going back, it is the festival of light, but it goes back thousands of years.
Absolutely, and I mean it's not mentioned in the Torah. It's more or less a holiday that has continued in folklore, but it's celebrated by all really heartily by all traditions of the Jewish faith, Reform, Conservative, Orthodox. It's a really important part of what we do, and big on food. It's a big holiday that's on food. You'll see potato latkes are a pretty popular delicacy of Hanukkah. You'll also see sufganiyot, which are more or less jelly donuts, which is a big part of the holiday. We also play a game called dreidel, which we use gelt coins, and we often have chocolate coins to symbolize that, and dreidel, there are four letters, nun, gimel, hey, and shin, which represents nes gadol hayasham, which is a great miracle happened there when they thought they were only going to have enough oil for the candles to burn one night, but they lasted for eight. So again, with much of the Jewish tradition, we have so much symbolism, and the dreidel is certainly representative of that.
Yeah, I grew up, my next door neighbor as a child growing up, his name was Sam Lenhoff, and Sam owned Sam Soldiers and Sailors on North Street. And mm-hmm. they sold, you know, GI, you know, used GI stuff from World War II. And I can remember as a young kid at Christmas time, he would bring a dreidel over. Mm-hmm. Because Hanukkah, they're always pretty close, but this year they're very close.
Yes.
And long story short, I mean, playing that with him and my father, he and my father in the summertime would sit on our open front porch and, you know, smoke cigarettes and just talk about the world. And sometimes as a kid, I'd sit there and he would always have his yarmulke on.
Yep.
Yeah. And what does that symbolize?
It's just a sign of respect. It's often, you know, you'll see rabbis wear it pretty in public pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
So in more conservative and Orthodox traditions, it's worn by all men in the sanctuary and the Reformed tradition. It tends to be optional, but it's a sign of respect to cover your head. And during the high holy days, we typically wear white yarmulkes. The one that I have, and it's also passed along from generation to generation as well. When you have wear a yarmulke and you have a tallit as well, a prayer shawl.
Yeah.
The one that I have was brought back from Israel, from by Sam Cohen, who was my grandmother's brother. Wow. And he was known, for those who go way back, in Pittsfield. He owned the linoleum store on North Street.
That's right.
And Sam's son, Leonard Cohen, has been a prominent attorney in
Pittsfield
for decades, and who he and I are remain very close.
Well, and he, as a former police officer, Leonard and I have been on, let's say, opposite sides, but always had a great deal of respect for each other.
That's true. And he is, also a past president of our synagogue. Lenny was a past president of Knesset Israel, as I was of Avon Shamunim. So, you know,
yeah,
service to the community is also vitally important, as you said, with the Schindlers, but for so many branches of my family.
So when you gather on the first night of Hanukkah, what's that like?
It's exciting. It's exciting, yeah, to light the candle for the first night. We have, we typically do blessings when we do the candles. We have a third one that we do on the first night of Hanukkah only, which is Shehecheyanu v'Kiyamanu v'Higiyanu l'Zman Hazeh, which is more or less just a blessing that we'll say during very special times to recognize the moment, that this moment is holy. You know, we'll do that on the high holy days. We'll do that when someone has a bar mitzvah. The first night of Hanukkah is almost regarded as such like that. So we'll say the Shehecheyanu and recognize that special moment. But it's exciting. And it's, for children, it tends to be a little more exciting because Hanukkah is a holiday where you get gifts. And for many Jewish families, it is a tradition to give gifts on all eight nights.
That's right.
Now, for me, I will probably, understanding that I also, we do Christmas as well, and Dad goes overboard for that holiday as well. We might limit the Hanukkah gift giving to maybe a couple of nights, but certainly James will have something to open at the end of the night tomorrow night as well, in addition to everything that he's going to get tomorrow morning.
Well, the other piece, and again, to go back for people that are just, this is kind of a special show. It is Christmas Eve day. What's going on in the world and our community and everywhere, it has upset me more than most people will know. I'm not a hater. I don't have the energy. I'd rather not have you talk to me than me hate you. And Hanukkah and Christmas are running close, since the closest they've run since 2005.
And yeah, the Jewish calendar changes every year because it's based on the lunar, on the moon. So I recall it must have been 10 or 11 years ago. I think it was 2013 when Hanukkah actually fell simultaneously with Thanksgiving.
Yes.
which is also exceedingly rare.
Right.
We use that at our synagogue. We use that as an opportunity to fundraise and sell Thanksgiving pies while we celebrated Hanukkah. So there's no set date or time, you know, whereas Christmas falls on December 25th every year. this year, Hanukkah falls on December 25th. Next year, it might be December 1st. I don't know how the calendar falls. So it's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this has always blown me away. The Jewish calendar, where it's not 2024.
No, it is. This year is 5785.
There you go.
5785. Yes.
And I again going back to Sam Lenoff, you know, he and my father would talk about that, and again, it was a different era. I understand that. We don't need our religion shouldn't judge how we react to people. That's my, you know. Oh, let me better do this, Josh. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, or people of good faith, whatever your faith is, even if you don't have a faith. So
you mentioned, and obviously faith is the big word today, but I'm part of the Reform tradition of Judaism, and something that's critically vital to the success of Reform Judaism has been the acceptance of interfaith households. You know, certainly in my synagogue, and in Reform Judaism as a whole, it's been growing acceptance that there may be one spouse that is Jewish and one that is not. And where the synagogue that I belong to on Shamunim has had a long tradition of being welcoming to interfaith households, interfaith children. And I'm a product of that as well. As we said,
when you were running from the church to the temple, that you'd be on Christmas Eve day with a fat guy talking about religion.
I know. But, you know, back in the, you know, my parents got married in 1987, and back then it was probably more rare for that to happen. But as we've come through the 90s and the early 2000s, that has changed for various reasons.
Yeah.
But we've adapted as well. And conservative Judaism is also becoming more welcoming of that as well. It's taken a little bit longer, but it's growing as well. But, you know, the reason why I have part of the reason why I have always felt at home as a Reform Jew is because all parties involved understand that there are different traditions and there are ways to make everybody, you come from different backgrounds, feel comfortable. And that's, you know, when I brought Jess to the temple for the first time in 2012, you know, Jess was not raised Jewish. She was raised at St. Agnes in Dalton.
Yeah.
Probably hadn't set foot in church since she was a teenager or any house of worship. But immediately from the first time felt welcome and loved the music, loved the tradition. My mother was the same way. And there are so many others that have a similar experience.
Yeah. And it shouldn't make a difference in how we interact with people of what their faith is.
Right.
I've been all over the world. I've been with Zulus in Africa and Hindu and in various places and Muslims. They're people. We're people.
Yeah. And, you know, but for myself, you know, I turn it around a bit as well.
Yeah.
Now, as we've talked about as well, my mother's family was not Jewish. My mother's family was as Irish Catholic as you can get. And I've attended Christmas Mass for many, many years. And I'll tell you the background behind that. So my grandmother, Mary McKeever of blessed memory, her birthday was on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Would have been today. So she was born in 1918. So today she would be celebrating her 106th birthday. And when I was about 18 or 19 years old, I had said to my mom that I wanted to find, because she died when I was about 8. So I wanted to find a way to honor her and to do that. And my mom had always spoken about how amazing Midnight Mass was at the church that she grew up at, St. Charles.
Yeah.
How when the clock strikes midnight, the lights come on and you have the choir and the music. It's just such an incredible thing to experience. So
yeah,
I think the first time that I went was 2008. And so my mother came with me, sat with me, and I get to the church and it's about 11:30. Sitting in pitch black, don't really know what to expect, because I really, aside from maybe funerals and a couple of weddings, I really hadn't at that point in my life, hadn't really set much foot in the Catholic Church. But I was excited for the experience. And then I hear at midnight when they say what they say, and then and then all the lights come on.
Joy to the world.
The blue and red lights at St. Charles, and how the altar is decorated. And then Father Gregory, who we all know and love in this community, and certainly my family as well, comes in, just gives them one of the most beautiful sermons that I've ever heard. And it's rare, it's rare to hear a round of applause at the end of a sermon.
Yeah.
But that's what he got.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. And you know, Patrick Kelly, who has been the longtime cantor, it's doing O Night Divine. It was just, and one of my dear friends too, the late great Ray Kinsella, who used to play trumpet at St. Charles as well. But that began a tradition for me that lasted quite some time. And then when they stopped doing midnight, we went to 4 o'clock. And from what I understand, they actually are doing a midnight mass year.
I'll have 4 hours sleep knocked down by midnight mass.
You have some excuse.
Those are for
I'll give you a mulligan, Bill. I'm sure you will do your duty either at 4 o'clock or the next morning.
I grew up in that parish in St. Charles. It was a working blue collar parish. Nobody there had a lot of money. Everybody worked. But the support of that church, in good times and bad, the people gave. I'm proud to be a Catholic, but I don't look down or criticize anybody who isn't. We got to get by this.
And the thing about St. Charles that's always amazed me as well is their willingness to adapt to the changing times. You know, about 15 years ago, when they needed to make some changes to become ADA compliant, with how the congregation came together to build the elevator, the pavers that they've done. You know, I have a couple of family members that we've had. Yeah. Had bricks dedicated for, but it's just a testament to the willingness of that congregation to continue to go forward. And now the last 3 years, and likely tonight as well, I have been spending midnight mass at St. Stan's up in Adams.
Oh, wow.
There's a family that I'm very close to that has had me as a guest for a number of years. That church as well just has so much history. It's such a beautiful building. They too themselves are in the beginning stages of a renovation project as well, the SSK preservation. But that congregation, that community as well, has a long tradition of continuing on, particularly when they were closed down and continued the vigil and had the rare the rarest of exceptions made by the Vatican and reopened. So I can't say enough about how much I admire that community. It's of the Polish tradition. So that is also a learning experience as well. When I participate in the music, a lot of it is in Polish. I did not grow up with it. So it's kind of reading and learning, and as one of my conductors says, audiating on the fly. But it's just so very special because that community is so close knit, and also makes me feel at home as well. So, it's become an important part of how I go through this holiday.
Yeah. Tonight, for Polish people and Italian people, they have, I think it's the Festival of the Fishes. If I'm wrong, I apologize. Tonight, depending on where you come from in Poland, it's either Velia or Vigilia. And in the old days, in the Catholic religion, you couldn't eat meat. It was a black fast. You couldn't eat meat until midnight. So we would have, you know, kapusta and all the Polish foods, and we still celebrate it. We used to host it here, but we've gotten too old, so now we have friends that we relatives that we go to. But there's all these traditions. Some people continue on, carry on, and it's really great. And others have gone by the by. But as a person who's been exposed to both faiths, I've been around people who have been of really different faiths, and what I found out is that's their belief, that's not their entire persona.
Mm-hmm. No, and I mean, as I go through the holidays, I fully recognize that there are elements of both religions with both.
Yeah.
However. I think most people understand that I am a devout Jew, but I love Christmas. I just do. One tradition that I never had as a child, I never had a Christmas tree as a child. Never had it. I think when I was, my grandparents were very involved. I think they were more of the old school kind of approach where, if that were in the house they were coming into, it would not fly.
Right.
So I kind of always said to myself, when I got old enough and independent, in a situation where I could, I'd like to start that tradition and have that, for various reasons. So, when I moved into my first place, that was one of the first things I did. And the first December, we went to, Tweenbrook Farm on East New Lenox Road, owned by the Noble family. Paid $35 for a tree. Got a quick lesson from them on how to tie it onto the car, because that certainly was never one of my strong suits. And I've been doing it ever since. And as you collect, and now I'm up to the point now, this is the first year that I actually cut my own tree down. I took James to Ioka Valley Farm just a few weeks ago, and I was going to just pick a cut tree and put it on the car. James elbows me and he says, "Dad, can we go on the tractor and just go to the tree field and see what it looks like?" I said, "Okay, we can get on the tractor." We took a ride, took over, and I ran into the to Don Lieb, who owns the farm, and he said, "You know, I've got a saw right here. It only takes a minute or two to cut it down if you want to give it a try." So I said, "You know what? Let's give this a try." And about 45 seconds later, I said, "James, you might want to back off, because this tree is about to come down." And and then we had our own fresh cut Christmas tree for the first time. So he'll always remember that. And another thing too, with the trees that we have, every ornament that we have symbolizes something, somewhere that I've been.
Oh, cool.
Something that we love.
Yeah.
You know, we have an ornament to honor the memory of Uncle Frank, for example. Yeah. We have, it's known by many that I'm a big Celtics, Red Sox, and Patriots fan. So we have lots of sports ornaments as well. So there's also ones that I've collected from places I've been. Cape Cod, New York City, the Bahamas, Myrtle Beach, places that I've been throughout the years. And every single ornament tells a story. And I have plenty, too, from when James was born, from ones he's made from daycare.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a decoration, but it's really almost like a book. And so I also decorate. It's old school, but I decorate my tree with tinsel, with icicles, because that's what my grandmother did when my on her majestic trees that we used to have on Weller Avenue. Yeah. She would sprinkle that with 2,000 pieces of tinsel.
Yeah.
And that thing would shine. And I do the same as a remembrance of her. So there's, you know, these traditions, they've all sort of grown over the decade or so that I've been doing it. But every year we try to add a little bit something more to make it more special, and just to continue to do that, to tell our stories of how we keep moving forward.
We have to take a break. I'm here with Josh Cutler. Tonight it's Christmas Eve. It's a time I hope that 2025, some of the vitriol, some of the hate, some of the unkindness will disappear. And why am I doing this show? Because this is a time, it's very rare, and Josh explained it, the Jewish people follow the lunar calendar, and we follow the, I don't know, somebody's calendar. God only knows. But anyhow, Christmas and Hanukkah are at the same time. So that hasn't happened since 2005. And we don't know when it'll happen again. But I wanted to take this time, at least from this show, give some peace and charity and joy to the world. We need it. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. More to come.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
It's a revolution!
Yeah, baby, yeah!
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. That good-looking guy, it's not me. His name is Josh Cutler. We're here today. For people that are just tuning in, this is kind of a special day for me. And I want it to be for you. It's Hanukkah and Christmas celebrated together.
You know, it's funny, Bill. I was just thinking about this. I always seem to wind up on this program either on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. So I feel like I'm more or less the Dick Clark of Morning Drive. So maybe we'll be counting down the ball at some point.
Well, I just turn my head like this, and people think it is the ball.
But it's really an honor to be here to talk about these things, because it's really important. And
I'm an old man, and I realize that I've seen a lot, I've done a lot, I've been a lot of places. What I haven't seen until very recently is the just vitriol in the world. people say, well, that was COVID. Well, you know, maybe COVID gave it the breath and wit to grow. But what I'm trying to do with this show is talk about Hanukkah, talk about Christmas. Christmas, joy to the world, Hanukkah, festival of light. We may view God in different ways, but that has nothing to do with us as people reacting and relating to other people. As I say at the close of every show, we're all in this together. We need each other. We really do. I have people right now. I lost my own brother the Thursday before Thanksgiving. And there are people who aren't here this year that were here last year. And so what do you gain by disliking somebody because they're Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or Muslim?
Oh, and you know, as many people in the community know, four and a half years ago, I lost my wife. I lost both of my parents within the last 4 years. And, you know, the holidays can be a challenging time as well. So, but the biggest thing that I emphasize for myself, for my siblings, for my son, is just the importance of togetherness and
that family.
That's for us, though I've explained some of the traditions that I have. The big thing for me for the holidays is just being together with people that I love. On Christmas morning, tomorrow morning, I'll be spending the morning with my brother and sister who have been so incredibly vital for me and for the development of my son. We spend the afternoon at the McKeever home, which we, as we've mentioned, in that St. Charles neighborhood, my family still owns the family home. My uncle still lives in it. I will get to see all of my family who live locally, my uncles, my cousins, my aunts. It's a great thrill. And then with the Jewish celebrations that I'm going to be having in the next couple of days, I'll get to see my temple family at our service on Friday night. And also our dinner next Friday night. And then the entire community, the Jewish community, as we're gathering together on Sunday the 29th at Hancock Shaker Village for our big
place to do it too.
It's going to be really fun. They're going to have live music and great food. I have still not been there during the winter months to see how they light it up. So this is going to be an experience for me. I still haven't been to Nam Keg either. So I'm always busy this time of year with, you know, the Eagles band and, doing a bunch of holiday traditions, but I still have not done some of those outdoor ones as well. So it's going to be really exciting for us.
And James now is at the age where it becomes real.
Oh my goodness. Yes. It's amazing to see, you know, year to year. I would say the first time he probably had a sense of what all these holidays meant was probably around the age of two. But really now that he'll be five in February, and he'll be going to school next year. So he's really very aware of his surroundings and what's going on, and particularly with what the holidays mean now. Sure. More so than just what he's going to be getting under the tree about all the traditions that we do. I took James to the city of Pittsfield tree lighting, and we've been starting this tradition now where we do that. We go to the Festival of Trees when they have the free night at the Berkshire Museum at the same time. It's fun for him now because he sees some of the same faces every year at these events. We now have our little tradition at home where when we turn the tree on in the evening, we have to count down from 10, 9, 8, and then he'll plug in the lights. And we'll just do it just like Jim McGrath did it just a few weeks ago at Park Square. But it's it's we're also finding new things to do too. Just recently, I took them up to Holiday Farm. They were having a tractor ride and Santa, and so we went on a really snowy Saturday just a couple of weeks ago, and again, something I had never done even as a kid. So it was exciting for me to be able to share that experience with him, have it for myself for the first time, and hopefully create something that we'll go back to do in future years.
The thing is that years when my son was small, I was transferred. We constantly change in every couple of years. What happened was... it was disruptive for him. He'd just make friends and then get transferred. So what we started to do is when we would do something like that or go somewhere, we would say, making memories. We're making memories.
Yes.
And years later, when he went off to college, I wrote an article for a book, I don't even think it was called Making Memories, where we kind of detailed it. But I just want to get back for one a couple more minutes. Besides lighting the candles, is there at Hanukkah? What's other symbolism? What are there foods? Are there sayings? Like here they sing and all that.
Well, oh yeah. So the music is a big part of it as well. And in our temple, we had a long tradition. We had a really great music director for many years, and Dr. Alan Gold, who's a dentist in Pittsfield, and we would have these incredible sing-alongs for years. And one of the songs that we did every year was an old song called "The Ballad of Judah Maccabee," and it was always led by Rabbi Salzman. And even though he's passed now, we still do it. Mike Duffy, who's sort of been taking the lead on music with our temple, he's a local educator and musician as well. Mike will still play the Ballad of Judah Maccabee as it's been, and we'll kind of mimic the rabbi a little bit as we sing it as a way to tip our hat to him and remember the tradition of him. But we do a lot of singing during the holiday as well. Food is, as tends to be in the Jewish faith, tends to be a pretty integral part of what we do. Potato latkes are generally the food of choice around Hanukkah. When you have a nice dinner, you either mix it with chicken. We at our house have always tended to do one with either brisket or prime rib.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I'm really excited for a couple of nights from now when my brother Zach will be making a nice brisket, and we'll be doing our family big celebration, our Hanukkah only celebration. Potato latkes, sufganiyot, which are pretty much jelly donuts, which are also part of the tradition as well. So those are kind of the two big food pieces, but also as you play dreidel, we have the edible gelt, chocolate coins.
Cool.
So those are tend to be on most people's tables during Hanukkah time if you can find it.
Yeah. Well, I think too. Going back just a flashback with me, it was I'll never forget my wife of the Polish heritage, and as I said, they celebrate Vigilia or Valia, however you say it, and the first was borscht.
Okay.
It was difficult for an Irish kid to eat borscht. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, you know what? We have the equivalent when we have Passover. We have a food called gefilte fish.
Yeah.
I heard, Rabbi Josh Brindel was on your show a number of times over the years, and his best way of describing it was an acquired taste. Either you really like it or you really don't. It's just one of those things. They're patties. They're an amalgam of a lot of different things. Oh. And You know, so, some people find it delicious, as I do, because I've been eating it since I was a kid. Yeah. Some take one look and they say, and they say, not for me.
It's an acquired taste.
Yes.
I applaud you and your entire family, your sister and your brother, your mom and dad. I grew up with the McKeevers. Frank and I were in the same class.
Yep.
Frank went to Vietnam. I went to Vietnam. All I can say is your marriage and your mom and dad, you know, they were beautiful people. I used to see them a lot. It's Misty Moonlight now. I forget what it was before.
It was Daddy-O's.
Daddy-O's.
That was one of my father's favorite places to go. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they're always wonderful people. You could tell, always happy. When I was thinking about doing this show, I said, well, let's compare. You know, this is very rare that it's happening at the same exact time. But also, it's time that, in my opinion, it's time that we set aside all this nonsense. Even on the street, I've told this story on air before. I'm pulling out of Appleton Avenue. Mm-hmm. And I had the red light, so I stopped, and I saw the light go yellow. And I looked up, and down the road comes this land yacht, like a 1966 Chrysler Imperial, 14 mm-hmm. blocks long, 3 blocks wide. And I know they're not going to stop, even though they have the red light. And I just tapped and pointed to the light, and it was a grandmother, and she flipped me the bird. And I said, I came home and I said to my wife, I think we're getting towards the end times because grandma just let me to bird. But seriously, for this show, for this time, you're going to be with people making memories. Make sure they're good memories, because we're not sure that all of us that are in the group this time will be here next year.
No, I certainly know about how fragile life can be. And I don't take any moment for granted or any person that's in my life for granted. And that's why, you know, the holidays are just so incredibly special. And I just having an opportunity to share it with my brother, my sister, my son, my aunts, my uncles. But also, you know, as I've come through the hard times in my life, I've found our community, the city of Pittsfield, so many friends that I have, because as many people know, I'm involved with a lot of different walks of life, in business and with the volunteer and things that I participate in. And it's the community and the friendship that I've had that has gotten me through the hard times. And I just absolutely treasure those relationships that I have, and just to be able to see good friends throughout the holidays and to be able to share times with them is just something that I really appreciate every single day. Never forget it. Never take it for granted.
Yeah. And I will say this, that at this time I get some Christmas Eve, I get a little down because I remember the year that I was in Vietnam and what an awful Christmas it was, being away from family, friends in that place. I mean, yes, we had our camaraderie among each other, but everybody was kind of maudlin. Everybody was missing home. And I would ask that as you're celebrating your Christmas, your Hanukkah, that you remember those that are on the front lines, because they'd like to be home with their families too. And I have to say this. I know this lady, her son is a Marine. And he will be home for Christmas. He's been deployed. And he will be home. And she is as happy as a clam. So before we close, Josh, you got about 4 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Josh is also very big with the Eagles band. What do you guys got coming up?
Well, we're pretty much done for the year now. We had our holiday concert on Sunday, December 15th, and it was just incredible. So this is kind of the time of year where we take our hiatus, but we will be back rehearsing on January 6th.
Wow.
As we'll start to prepare for our spring concert, which will be in it's usually late April, early May, maybe the first weekend of May. We haven't set the date yet, but again, we're going as strong as ever with 70 players, 70 active participants in our organization right now in our concert band. But we also have, you know, our smaller ensembles, trombone, clarinets that are brass ensemble, our stage band, that we have an active performance schedule between all of the groups that we have. We play 35 to 40 performances a year.
And very active.
Yeah, so we're done for 2024. We'll be starting to set our schedule for 2025. Of course, we'll have our spring concert at the First United Methodist Church in late April, early May, and then we'll start our parks concerts that we do. We do a few concerts at the Common right on First Street. We'll do one at Springside Park, and then we play all over the community as well. We do something at Williams College. We'll play in Lenox too. We always play at Kimball Farms for the residents there. We often go up to Windsor Lake and North Adams. So we're a pretty busy group taking our holiday hiatus, but then we're starting back up the first week of January. We're year round. So we rehearse every Monday night and we love it. You know, there's so many people in the organization who are either retired music educators or were musicians in the past professionally. So we have some really, really talented and dedicated people. And again, one of the organizations that I've been a member of, I've been in the band now for 13 years and infinitely proud of my connection with it. And glad as an adult to have an outlet to continue to do what I love and make music with my friends.
Before we go, I do want to say a couple of things. One, thank you for listening to this. Let's make a New Year's resolution that this year we're all going to try harder to be kinder, more charitable, more understanding, more forgiving. And also, this Christmas, because I regret not doing this. Isn't it funny, huh? It isn't until someone's gone that you regret it. But this Christmas, take lots of pictures, really, of everybody, not just the kiddos, the adults, and everybody.
I'm glad you said that, Bill, because that's something that I make a point to do. I take a lot of photos. I share a lot of photos because, well, it helps me remember too, because my memory tends to be more photographic. So if I see an image of it, it's easier for me to remember what I said, remember what I was doing, who I was with.
Yeah.
So,
and
completely,
again,
people, completely.
Agree. Yeah, no, I'm a big one for that. If you got any old grudges, put them in a nice package, put a bow on it, and get rid of it, because it'll wear you out. You gain nothing from it. Try to forgive and forget. And both religions, all religions, be kind. Believe in the goodness in people, and be with that. Josh, happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish listeners and friends. Happy Hanukkah to all the people who celebrate Christmas. And I'll tell you a quick story after. Merry Christmas. And make this a special New Year. I said to someone at Big Y that I know, Merry Christmas. And this lady went off on me. Mm-hmm. Why are you still chasing that or something? I said, well, I believe in it. Well, I find it insulting. Well, there you go.
To each their own. Well, Bill, Merry Christmas to you and Roseanne.
And to your family, your brother and your son, and your...
Yeah. May this be a happy and healthy and joyous one for us all.
For us all. And folks, God bless. And this year, I try. Now I'm not a saint, but I tried. Let's try to take care of each other. Really and truly. Especially our own and our friends. No one's promised tomorrow. God bless. Thanks, Josh. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Thanks, Bill.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.